In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God
forever. So I love a good movie. I remember my first trip to the cinema, to the big screen, circa 1972, maybe about 5 years old, Rochester, New York, to see a full screen showing of The Wizard of Oz. Movie starts in black and white. And all of a sudden, partway through the movie, as you know, it goes from black and white to brilliant color. And I was amazed. I also remember especially the terrifying scene when Dorothy and her friends first meet the great and powerful Oz in his throne room. The booming voice, the images of smoke and fire, and of course, that floating head that no child can forget. Terrifying and engaging all at once. Had a lot of sympathy for the cowardly lion when he runs down the hall and bails through the window. And even still, I loved it. But if you compare those 1939 images, which is when that movie was made, good as they were, to the incredible and realistic images you see today in high definition, surround sound, the TV, the movies, the video games, even our phones, there's just no comparison. We become saturated, but with amazingly realistic images, but images that are nonetheless complete fantasy. And not just occasional trip to the movie house, but every waking moment. I mean, you can't even pump gas without images and sounds telling me what I need to be happy, and it's right inside their store. I was at Walmart in Rice Lake this week, saw Jane Prusak there in the parking lot, actually, yeah. And this thing, I'm walking down the aisle, and this thing right next to me starts talking to me. It's a screen. This woman starts telling me that Swiffer is better than some other picker-upper. I don't know. And I was like, whoa. You just can't get away from images. The more time we spend passively immersed in these high-definition images, the more we absorb them. We begin to live in that artificially produced world a bit more and a bit more until that falseness becomes part of us. And that is a fact. We cannot get away from it because that's how our brains work. When you bombard your brain with something, some of it gets in. Now, I bring this up not because I'm against a good movie. In fact, the occasional fantasy story is quite healthy for the brain. But I bring this up as an illustration of my spiritual life. As days come and go, I am so saturated with false images and supposed truths about life and about God that I can lose sight of the real God. I can lose sight of myself. I can lose sight of my real self, who I live with day in and day out. I can lose sight of what's really important when I am under a constant barrage of false images about life. And if I'm not careful, I start to passively accept those false images as real. And then, wham! The church gives us great Lent. The church gives us Lent, smacks us in the face, not to harm us, but to wake us up, to heal us, to call us out of that passive revelry. Like nothing like the first Sunday of Lent to shatter all my false images of life. This first Sunday of Lent gets us out of the fantasy images and brings us back to the true image of God, who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. The first thing we get is this Lord's encounter with Nathanael. Jesus sees him and says to the group, "Behold." What does the word behold mean? It means look. Jesus says, "Look, everyone, look at this man. Look and see. An Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Jesus was saying to them and to us this first Sunday of Lent, look at this guy. Look at Nathanael. There is no deceit in this man. He's honest. He's real. He's a straight shooter. He's looking for the Savior and he won't accept anything fake. And look at him, because neither should you. Now, when Philip tells Nathanael that Jesus is from Nazareth, Nathanael's not buying it. Why not? Because Nathanael knows the Messiah, the Savior, is supposed to come from Bethlehem, but everyone keeps calling him Jesus of Nazareth. And of course, not everyone knew that Jesus was born in Bethlehem and only later moved to Nazareth. So Nathanael is saying, well, he's not from Bethlehem, so how can anything good, how can the Savior come out of Nazareth? But how does Nathanael even know this? How does Nathanael know that this Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem? Why is he on guard for false images? And the fact is, he knows his scripture, and in scripture it said the Savior was going to come from Bethlehem. So my question for us is, do you know Christ so well that you can tell the real from the fake? The real Savior from the extremes? You know, there's so much wisdom. There is so much wisdom. The real image of God is offered to us in the life of the church, is offered to us in her scriptures, in her seasons, especially Lent, in her hymnography, everything that we sing. You know, our hymns come alive with the real image of God, but only when we're here to chant them, to sing them, and to really hear them. The second thing we get on this first Sunday of Lent is the celebration of icons. The actual title of this day is perfect. It's called the Restoration of Icons, to make the image real again. Now, if you compare the image of Christ offered to us by the church, even to the image of Christ offered by the world, let alone its image of life, there is no comparison. Their image of Christ is a cartoon. It's a caricature. It's either this pushover candy man or this wrathful slave driver. But the church's image of Christ is all around us. Our image is compassionate, strong, sober, loving, kind, gentle. And the same can be said of all the saints that we depict everywhere. The real saints are the same compassionate, strong, sober, loving, gentle, and kind. And which is the greatest icon of all that God created? Well, the greatest icon of all is a human being. We heard in our reading from Genesis this past Wednesday that humanity is created in the image of God. Humanity is the truest icon of God, but when we're saturated with a false reality of the world, we need to be restored. We need to come back. We need an internal restoration of the icon, and then that's exactly what Lent is designed to do. It's to restore the image of God in us. Now, this particular year, we get a bonus on the first Sunday of Lent to help us restore the image, which is the Feast of St. Patrick of Ireland. Patrick is known to the world for driving the snakes out of Ireland. Be careful that doesn't too become a false image. That is a parable. It's an allegory. In other words, they're not real snakes. Geologists say there never were snakes in Ireland since the last ice age. Snakes represent false teachings. Snakes represent false images being driven out by the truth of Christ. When St. Patrick drives the snakes out, what it's saying is he's driving away false teachings. St. Patrick once said that it was his desire that when someone thought of him, that Christ would be in their heart. He said it was his desire that when someone heard him, that they would hear Christ. It was his desire that when someone saw him, they would see Christ. It was something Patrick never felt he lived up to, but it was his life goal, to be such an image of Christ that when someone saw or heard him, they saw or heard Christ in him. Well, brothers and sisters, Patrick's life goal is Lent's goal for us, is that when someone sees us or hears us or thinks of us, that they say, there goes Christ. There goes Jesus Christ. And to the extent that we miss, to that extent the church wants to build that back in us. The world is so saturated with false images of life, of reality, of God, even of your own humanity. And the world is getting more realistic and more clever and more pervasive all the time. Patrick wants the real image of Christ himself. Nathanael refuses to settle for anything fake, anything deceptive. And the church then gives us Lent to shatter the world's false images and to restore the true icon of Christ within. Amen.